Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Well, good morning, everybody, and welcome to Charlton Live, sponsored by the British Institute of Kitchen, Bedroom and Bathroom Insulation. My name is Louis Mendez. I hope you guys are well on your Sunday morning. On this week's show, then, we'll be looking back at yesterday's 3-3 draw up at Port Vale. Yet another late goal conceded by the Addicts as we had the lead three times and threw it away three times. Now 7 games without a win. Joining me to discuss that, first up, top right, Nathan Muller, who's saying he's got a Vic Sticks with him this morning. How you doing, Nath? You under the weather a bit?
Yeah, I've had this sort of illness since like Boxing Day, and I can't really shift it. But yeah, I'm here. Managed to watch a nice and entertaining game yesterday to cheer me up. But yeah, I'm all good, mate.
Yeah, late go-itis. We've been suffering from it for a while, actually, and Nathan's been suffering even worse than most. And joining us, bottom of the screen, a man who spent many, many hours queuing for the Blackwall Tunnel on his way home from Port Vale yesterday, is Tom Wallin. How you doing, Tom?
Yeah, I'm all right, mate. I'm all right. Looking forward to discussing the game.
Yeah, interesting game indeed it was. So 3-3 yesterday at Port Vale. We'll hear the goals in a few moments' time. We'll hear, of course, from the Addicts boss, Michael Appleton. We'll discuss signings as well. A couple have come in the door. One bid accepted, of course, for Johnson Clark Harris, which is a big talking point. Slobodan Tedic has gone back to Man City to fight for his place in the City side as well. So we'll talk about all of that. We're going to hear from our guest fan, Chris Collingwood, second time lucky, and his microphone definitely works this morning because we've already checked it. So looking forward to hearing from Chris later on in the show. We want to hear from you guys as well. Morning to everyone in the chat. Morning to Norm's joining us. Good to hear from you, Norm. I haven't heard from you for a while. He said he's looking forward to the show. He's had no golf today, so happy new year to you. Morning to Ian, to Keith, to All Hell Let Loose. Sam's in there, Martin, Robert, Sam, Wyatt as well. Let us know your thoughts on yesterday's game. Why can't we keep a side out in the last 10 minutes of game? 7 goals in the last 7 games in the last 10 minutes is costing us points. I think that I make it 8 points is cost us over those 7 games, which would be a very different point if we were, you know, looking at that playoff gap, which, as I've said already, we're pretty much out of now. So, yeah, let us know why you think that happened, what you've made of the links with the likes of Johnson, Clark, Harris, and the two that have come in so far as well. Nath, very briefly, just hear the highlights. I'll try and explain how I felt at full time yesterday. Obviously frustrated. I actually enjoyed the game as well, which that's one of the first times I've enjoyed a game for a little while. It was actually a really entertaining game. But, you know, we, as I say to Michael in the interview, we know what Charlton are good at and we know what Charlton are bad at, and we saw it in bucketfuls yesterday.
Yeah, we did. And like you said, it was a bit of a weird one really, because I think overall, yeah, it was an entertaining game, but then obviously the sucker punch at the end, it's just a bit of deja vu. But I know we talk about mentality in terms of defensively, but offensively, I think to be pegged back twice and go again, you know, it takes a bit of doing. But it's the other side we're struggling with. And as much as, you know, it was a good game, we've got to be honest, they did pepper our goal. And that's loose. I'll use that term very loosely, because I think that if I was a Port Vale fan and I didn't get anything out of that game, I would have been absolutely raging. But yeah, a bit of an odd one, really, but we didn't lose. It's another point. You know, we're nearly there for survival for the year, so we can all start getting excited again.
Yeah, that sums us up. Nearly got survival in League One, and we're only halfway through the campaign. What an achievement. Hey, let's have a listen to the goals then from Charlton TV. Your commentators, as always, were Greg Stubley and Terry Smith.
One back as Dobson prepares to take again for Charlton. Swings it in towards the near post. It's headed up in the air. Might come the way of Tene Watson. It does. Back inside. Carnu gets a touch, but Port Vale able to clear it away. As far as Eden, who heads forward. Louis Watson with a little touch and a break to Blackett Taylor and a penalty here. Blackett Taylor, yes, finishes through the legs of Ripley and gives Charlton the lead. A little flip from Louis Watson fell perfectly for Blackett Taylor. who had the composure to finish. It gives Charlton the lead.
Oh, the two Watsons combined, but that flicked header from Louis Watson, you can't overemphasise the importance of that. It completely flat-footed the Port Vale defence, and Blackett Taylor was alive to that.
Low on the ball again for Port Vale. Diagonal ball forward. Ikpeoza with the header comes to Massey. Massey with a cross. That looked like it might have hit a hand. The referee's given a penalty. It was Anderson who tried to block the cross. His hand was up in the air.
Chislett
takes it. Sends Manopura the wrong way. And we're level.
Control. Just that last couple of minutes. Well, oh, good grief.
I forgot about this.
Poke it towards Tyrese Campbell. Blackett Taylor goes on the outside. Low cross in towards Kanu, but the touch from Low was important. Port Vale make a meal of it. Might come the way of Kanu! Yes! Show and score! And it's Daniel Kanu with the goal. Port Vale struggling to clear their lines. Kanu off a 1-2 with Eden, an accidental 1-2. But there was Daniel Kanu to score for Charlton.
And didn't he enjoy that, Massey, Daniel Kanu?
Well, back to Sam with the cross. Ikpeoza with the header. And it's scrambled in. So the cross came in. It was Massey who held up the ball. Poked it back. The way of Smith, it was with the cross. Ikpeoza won the header. Manopura got a touch to it, but couldn't keep it out. The Port Vale level.
Well, we needed to hang on. We needed to stay in front for a period of time. So Blackett Taylor. Blackett Taylor now to take on Smith. Corner of the penalty area. Does take him on. Can he get there to the byline? Gets it across. Oh, and he's headed clear before it can find Tyrese Campbell. But Thomas will pick it up. Edge of the area. Now Tyrese Campbell! And it's in! Campbell finishes for Charlton. Ripley got the save, but he couldn't keep it out, and the Addicts have the lead back.
Well, suddenly Chance started playing the way we were seeing in the early part of the second half, and they're maintaining possession.
Backwards to Massey. Cuts inside Massey. He's got Walters inside of him. Chislett available. Ball into the edge of the box, and Massey with a shot. Oh, it's gone in. I've no idea how that managed to get into that bottom corner, but it has. On the home side of back level.
Yes, again, just one of the softest goals you'll see all season. Edge of the penalty area, no pressure. Finds the target. And then when you're away from home, you want to fight for everything for those 3 points. You can't allow shots to come in from the edge of the penalty area so easily.
There we go. Greg Stubbley turning into Neil Warnock at the end. There you go. Die for those 3 points. But, hugely frustrating once again, as per always, Tom. I mean, I've sort of run out of ways to ask Michael Appleton about these late goals. You know, it's another one. I said, you must be getting frustrated with these. And then he has spoken about seniority. We have a pretty senior back five, I guess, if you keep the goalkeeper in there as well, because Ashley's been playing for a while now. Surely, even if there are younger players in the midfield, I don't know, surely there has to be this organisation coming from the back line. Ash can see everything in front of him. Michael and Lloyd are senior defenders. They should be able to marshal players. Louis Watson was the man who let Massey get behind him, and then Jones didn't break him down. But who out of that back line is telling Louis Watson where Massey is and then taking charge of the situation if it has got beyond him? I mean, it keeps happening. Something's not right there.
Yeah, I think, well, it's just a huge combination of things. I think Jason mentioned early in the comments, maybe fitness and conditioning. I think possibly, certainly we look tired, but that might not be fitness conditioning. It might be just the size of the squad and the availability of players. He also mentioned good choices coming off the bench, which again, you know, Terrell Thomas came on midway through that second half. But apart from that, you're looking at that bench and there's not a lot there. I think, I've seen a couple of comments about Ash. I still don't know how I feel about him. I know he's a good shot stopper, but in terms of leadership and commanding, I don't know. But Jones, I've been really, really impressed with this season. But at the same time, I don't necessarily hear him shouting and marshalling a back line. Hector, I would expect to do that as the most senior player in that back line. But again, I'm not sure. So I think it's a combination of things. You could probably argue defending from the front as well. Those players not getting back enough. There is a lot of youth in that side as well, but I don't think it's a good enough excuse. And largely, I think ultimately, if you had to summarise it in one thing, it's just game management. It's game management, and it's, I suspect, like us fans, and I saw Michael just put in the comments, you knew we were going to let the lead slip. It wasn't a surprise. When the board went up for, was it 4 minutes of added time, I said to Sam, who was sat next to me, well, we've got plenty of time to concede two. And I was kind of tongue-in-cheek, but at the same time, the fact they scored one of the two didn't surprise me in the slightest. And if we're feeling like that, I know the players shouldn't be, but it's happened so many times in so many consecutive games now that there must be an element of that that creeps in, that they think, well, unless we're two goals ahead with 5 minutes left, there's a good chance we're going to get pegged back here. And mentally weak, game management, it's just not there at the moment. And the only point I empathise with Appleton a little bit in is he does say, you know, when things are not going your way, this tends to happen. I would feel if we'd have, you know, like you were saying, if we'd have won that Burton game, who knows what a difference the other games were. But the point is we didn't win it. So I'm not going to defend him too much. But it's just one of those things now where every week you expect, even if the ball's up in their box with 30 seconds left, you just expect that they're going to score. Whereas if we were on a run of three or four wins, you don't. And I think it's OK for us fans to feel that because that's natural. But as players, you've got to be mentally stronger to be able to cope with that. And at the moment, they're not.
Nathan, how do we stop these late disasters from happening? As I said, there's seven goals in the last seven games that we've conceded after 80 minutes, and I think we've scored maybe two now in that time because Tyrese's was on about 82, 83 yesterday, and it's costing us a lot of points at this moment in time.
Yeah, I mean, it's difficult because it's, like Tom was saying, if there's an anxiety in the group when you're defending a lead, I mean, it's natural as a human that you're going to get that, but then you're relying on your senior pros to sort of guide you through it. But there's so many goals that we've conceded where they're just easily avoidable. I know Oxford's one, you know, it was a screamer, but we maybe could Fraser have pressed it, blah, 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 or whatever. But I think yesterday's one is just a desire of wanting to defend. Sometimes I look at us and I go, we don't want to defend as a team. So, like, for me, Jones has been great for us this season. But I'm thinking, if you had a Jason Pearson now, I don't want to keep harking back to the olden days or anything, but Jason Pearce would literally throw himself at that ball, he'll throw his face in it if he could. But we just seem a bit tepid, you know what I mean? We're just a bit half-hearted sometimes. And I think to win those games, those nitty-gritty games, is you've got to put your body on the line and really throw yourself at it. And I just don't think we do it enough, not just yesterday, just I think throughout the season and maybe for the last couple of years, which is seems quite soft. And like I say, it's difficult because I thought yesterday we'd done okay in parts, but we got peppered. And I know Michael said, yeah, they put the effort in, but I'm sorry, that's a bare minimum. I'm sorry, I'm not going to praise people for putting 100% in because that's what you're supposed to do, aren't you? You don't put 75% in and go, oh, well, we didn't do enough today. Well, that's not good enough. You've got to put 100% in, which is standard, and then you do your qualities, and it's the decision-making, which is costing us every week.
Yeah, this is a great point by Matthew in the chat here. He says, I thought we played well in patches, but against teams like Port Vale, if that's our standard, it's a bad sign. And I think, yeah, I think that sort of summed up sort of where we are a little bit at the end there, Tom. Because like I said, I looked at that away end and I saw, you know, everyone's clapping. Everyone enjoyed the game. It was an enjoyable game. It was quite a thrilling game. You know, we were under pressure in big spells. We did have a couple of good spells ourselves. And we come away with a point away from home and we're seven without a win and we're miles off the playoffs. And it's just like, it was almost like yesterday was almost a distraction from the fact that we are in the malaise we are in because it was a decent game. But, you know, again, I went back on Radio London yesterday and Phil Parry literally said, like, I'm not being funny, but it's Port Vale. And when he was reacting to the interview with Michael Appleton, like, is that enough? Obviously, it's not. Like, I saw a great tweet from Jimmy Stone on Twitter yesterday. There's almost been an acceptance that this is our level now. And I said that, I remember saying that quite a lot at the end of last season, and it really frustrated me. And maybe it's just the fact that I've been so down on the club for the last month, particularly after what's happened. I was almost happy just to have almost what felt like an afternoon off because it was a good game. And that is where we are. I'm just clinging for anything at the moment because it is so miserable. We are going to Port Vale and scoring three and not winning games. Bloody Port Vale. It's not even Stoke. It's Port Vale.
Yeah. And to go back to Nate's point, I enjoyed yesterday. As a standalone game, I enjoyed the game. You're right. We clapped the majority of the players off. And largely that was down to the fact that they gave us 100%. But as Nate says, that's not acceptable. And in a microcosm, if I compare that game to Oxford at home and then the Bristol and Leighton Orient games, which I was at, there was marked improvement. We scored some goals. We looked a little bit better. We put more effort in. So if you just look at those four games, I think that's what people were reacting to. But on a wider scale, you're completely right. And you've been saying, I think, at the start of this season too, people are people are kind of accepting that this is our level, and we shouldn't be. We absolutely shouldn't be. That's a game. Well, we said it pre-Burton. Again, I'll go back to that point. We said, look, kick off this period against Burton with a win. You're going away to Orient, who I don't think had won at home all season, lost that and were awful. Go away to Bristol, should be winning that, or at least getting a point. Then you come at home to Oxford, okay, tougher game, but you're back at home, throw it away in the last minute. And away to Port Vale, you'd think if those results had gone your way, you're a few places above them, and that should be a game that you should be winning, particularly if you're going ahead three times away from home. So it's not acceptable. It's hard, isn't it? We haven't seen enough from this new ownership to know if there is a rebuild in place and what that's going to look like. I know they're doing this YouTube thing in the week. I know that the January transfer window might start to tell us it. And I know there's a huge split amongst the fan base at the moment around Appleton. And it seems like the hierarchy are leaning towards keeping him for now, whether you agree with that or not. Now, if there is some sort of long-term plan under Appleton and being backed, sadly, we're not going to know too much about that until the latter stage of this season into next year. And so I guess I looked at yesterday as, well, we're not making the playoffs anyway. I've had a nice day out. I've seen a good game of football. And that's pretty much all I can accept from the season now, so long as they're giving us 100%. I don't know what more at this stage of the season I can ask of a Charlton team, other than obviously holding on for the extra 2 points, which would have been a little bit better. But ultimately, I don't feel like that's going to get us into the playoffs anyway. So maybe it's an acceptance of where we are, not because I'm happy with it, but because I know we're not going up. But it's certainly not acceptable. It's not acceptable, but there's not enough time to turn it around now. You know, that Charlton have made their bed. We're going to be in League One next year at best, yet again. I don't think that's good enough, but there's nothing we can do at this stage in the season to do it. Even if we won every game the rest of the season, I can't see us now making that gap up. And it's very depressing, but it's where we are.
I mean, if we won every game, we would make the gap up. But obviously we're not going to do that because we've literally not won a game in 7 games. Andrew said we're on the same points as Shrewsbury, who've scored 17 and have a minus 19 goal difference. That's a depressing stat, isn't it? I always feel a little bit condescending to Shrewsbury because they always seem to be about 17th in League One. They're 15th today. They've got a bit of a nosebleed, actually. But I always think how boring it must be to support Shrewsbury for some reason, because they always sit in the lower reaches of League One, and we're turning into that side. It's getting frustrating. There's a couple of comments about Ash there. Ashley absolutely had to do better with a second goal. Lloyd Jones had to do better with a second goal as well. He was beaten by Ekpeyizu, who, to be fair, was an absolute presence up top for Port Vale. But Joseph said, without Ash, we would have lost. He's young. It's not in his nature to shout at professionals, who should know what to do. It's a confidence issue. It will come, but the defence needs sorting out. I mean, I'm sure Dylan Phillips was a pretty vocal goalkeeper, and that's probably a bit of the characteristics we need as part of that back line. He made some great saves yesterday, really good saves. One of them, I think, from a deflected shot in the second half. I saw a Port Vale fan online said was one of the best saves he'd ever seen. It was a great save, but then it's similar to when we've said, Heck had a great game apart from that mistake he made a few weeks ago. Like, you can't be doing that, Nathan. And yeah, there's a few different things there that need to change.
Yeah, exactly. They're just fine margins, aren't they? So, you could have a 0-0 and you go, oh, so-and-so had a great game, but he missed an open goal in the 90th minute. Well, he didn't really, did he? But I get the point about Ash. Like, he made some great saves and he could have done better with a goal, 1,000,000%. But he still made the saves, but it's the fact that how many saves he had to make. I think we need to focus on that point of why he was in the position to make that many saves. We're not playing, in fairness to Port Vale, we're not playing Portsmouth or Peterborough. Well, we are next week. They're a very attacking side at home. They've got some weird results going on at home, but it's just, I just think we're so easy to play against. And I know it's naturally, we're always going to look at the defence because their last line, and if they make a mistake, it's going to be highlighted a lot more than if you lose a ball in midfield. But it's just so many errors across the pitch, and we're just inconsistent. Because we're so inconsistent, I don't know which team's going to turn up next Saturday. It wouldn't surprise me if we go beat Peterborough 2-0. It wouldn't be, well, maybe not clean sheet, 2-1. But do you know what I mean? It's just a bit, We're so inconsistent, and that's why we are middle of the pack in League One, and we will be until we get that consistency.
Norman says, players in improved performance, momentum, look forward to next season. That's what we can hope for this this campaign, I guess. Guy says, really think it is the level, though. It's years worth of assembling a squad from free agents, loans who are unfit and low on game time, and blooding the youth before they're ready. One of the boarders joined us, Gavin Carter. Says, I can assure you that no one is accepting this as our level. And, you know, and that's what they'll have to prove as the January goes on. You know, I mean, I think if you look at some of the signings we made in the summer, whilst it might not have been accepting this was our level, it certainly has put us as part of this level. That's, you know, there's still a lot of work to do that needs fixing there, Tom. And we said it, you know, I certainly said at the end of last year, it was really frustrating. I mean, there were games last year, raking over old ground here, like when we lost 6-0 at Ipswich and like a week later everyone was buzzing because we beat MK or the week before, and it's just like I thought the players at times, you know, given some of the effort levels at the end of last season, thought that was acceptable. But yeah, there's still a lot to do to sort of prove, you know, the direction that we're heading in. You know, hopefully if we can get Johnson, Clark, Harris over the line, that's part of it, but you know, that's only one part of it at this stage of the season, Tom.
Yeah, it's absolutely huge. And I don't know what's going to happen with CBT and Dobbo, but I suspect they're both going to go either in January or in the summer. So you lose Dobson, who's kind of that midfield part of the spine. And we were talking about this on the coach home yesterday. I'm still not convinced by Ash in terms of a leader. Maybe he needs more game time. And usually I'm somebody who's like, look, consistency in game time will get those young players there. Maybe Jones becomes kind of that linchpin of the centre-backs, and then you've got Clark, Harris and May up top. But that midfield still, you know, there's loan players coming in now. Even if we do make one or two of them a permanent, you know, they're going to have had not even six months of football with us. So that whole midfield, you'd think, is going to need some sort of rebuild yet again. And going into next year, we need a really solid spine, because as you say, Johnson, Clark, Harris and May, as it stands, are going to need to score probably a couple of goals each every single game if we want any hope of winning. And realistically, that's not going to happen. So, yeah, there's a huge amount of work to be done. As I say, I think the board hopefully are aware of that, and maybe they'll talk a little bit more about that on Wednesday. But having to listen to the board come and future plan for next season in early January yet again is, as fans, is not acceptable. You know, you look at, I think somebody posted the points per, or points at this stage in the season over the last 7 years. You look at the last three or four, like this next year will be the fifth, I think, in a row in League One. It's the same. Every year it's the same. We're on about the same amount of points and we're in about the same position in the table. And yeah, we have no divine right to be in the Championship. We have no divine right to be pushing higher than that. But I do feel like we're a big enough club that we should be pushing for the top end of League One as a minimum. And we're not. Yet again, we're not. And that's down to consistent mismanagement of this club. And these new owners have got to prove that they're not going to do that yet again, because if they do, it's just going to be the same old again next year. And we're already thinking like that. So, yeah, they've got a lot on their hands. They've got a lot to work with. They've got two or three owners worth of mismanagement to sort out. And so far, they haven't proven they can do it, but I don't know if they've had enough time yet. So, yeah, it's a big, big 6 months ahead for them.
This time last season, we had 31 points after 25 games. We're on 30 this year, so we've gone ever so slightly backwards at the stage after the run we've had over Christmas. We've sat still, effectively, which is a frustrating thing. James said he thought Jones was awful yesterday. Watched their third goal with his hands on his knees. He's been poor recently. Yeah, like I say, he got beaten in the air by Paisley for the second one. He didn't close down for the third one, and he certainly, you know, like I say, I imagine he should be part of that defensive unit, marshalling the players ahead of him to make sure that Massey can't slip into a little bit of space. I mean, obviously, Louis Watson's got to take some of the blame for letting him get beyond him. But, I mean, Louis, overall, had an assist yesterday, Nath. You know, people have been calling for him to come back in. What did you make of his performance yesterday?
Yeah, I thought he'd done okay. I thought he looked quite bright early stages. I think towards the end of the game, he was blowing massively. Surprised he didn't get taken off, to be fair, because he looked like he was struggling a little bit physically. But we didn't really have a lot on the bench. We just had a load of younger players and Scott Fraser. So we didn't really, I didn't know what he could do. But maybe he said to him before the game, you know, here's a chance to have a go. But I think, yeah, I thought he was bright. enjoyed his tackle. That was a proper sort of Brexit kind of tackle, that one, when he just hacked him down, wasn't it? But yeah, I thought he'd done okay. He is what he is. He's quite bright and he gets around the pitch very well. So I don't think he'd done himself any disservice yesterday.
Right, we've still got loads of messages to come to. We've still got our guest fan, Chris Collingwood. We've still got to talk about the transfer business. But I think we should hear from Michael Appleton, because he covers quite a lot of those topics in our post-match interview. This is what he had to say after yesterday's draw up at Port Vale. Pretty entertaining game. I guess we know what your side are good at and the areas they struggle in, and we saw both bits of it today.
Yeah, we did. Yeah, it was definitely one for the neutrals, obviously. Lots of goals, lots of chances either end. Some good striking, some poor misses, some good saves. You know, it had pretty much everything. And some really poor refereeing decisions as well, as that's not helping at this moment in time. But the most pleasing thing for me was the spirit we showed today. You know, for us to put the effort we did in against Oxford on New Year's Day, and then get that sucker punch right near the end, to be able to do what we've done today, is pleasing.
There's another sucker punch at the end again. It's something that's keep happening at the moment. Is that really frustrating for you this time?
Yeah. There's times when I just want to get myself on the pitch myself and, you know, and deal with it. But I think I mentioned it last week, and certainly I've mentioned it this week, you know, we've got to keep putting ourselves in that position. That's the most important thing. So when you're on a run and I've got a spell like this, it's dead easy to lose 2-3-0, you know, and when you don't go ahead in the game, or you concede the first goal, allow the opposition to sort of get away from you, and you think, oh, all right, next week it's not going to happen. But the one thing the players are really good at is, yeah, they're getting themselves in that position time and time again. Now, ultimately, at some point, we've got to get over the line, we've got to see it out. But I'm a firm believer that if you do keep putting yourself in that position, one or two maybe new faces, etc., to give everyone else a lift, that will happen.
Do you think it is that more sort of experience added to the side will help? Because obviously you still have quite an experience back four on the pitch, but in the midfield there's a couple of young players in there. Is that what the difference will be?
I hope so, because everyone's got to play the part. You know, it's not about any individual or a unit. Everyone's got to play the part, and I think that, you know, there's a lot of tired minds towards the end, never mind tired bodies. You know, the two separate things, and obviously when you're tired between the eyes, you know, you can, you know, make some sort of silly errors or silly decisions at times. And if we can try and keep the players as fresh as we possibly can and have options and make sure that we can, you know, if we have to rotate, we can do, then obviously that's going to help us.
I haven't seen a replay, but after it went to 3-3, should that have been a penalty right at the end?
It's absolute stonewall. The reality is Lloydie's there to tap it in the goal. Lloydie's there to tap in the goal, and obviously the guy's like blocked it with his hand, so... It's even more disappointing, because obviously I get the reason why you give the penalty in the first half, but at the same time, Caroy's so unfortunate. You know, he's sliding in to try and, you know, block the cross with his feet, and he's obviously his hands up. But I think if you're going to give those type of decisions, then surely you've got to give what we're seeing at the end.
Corey got a great reception from the fans after his goal. He's been fantastic this season. I mean, SLP said that you've had a bid that you rejected. Is it going to be difficult to keep hold of a player in that sort of form?
Who knows? Well, one thing I would say is that, you know, from his point of view, his attitude was brilliant today, and, you know, he put a shift in, he got his goal. He was, you know, struggling towards the end, he was cramping up, that's why we had to get him off the pitch. But yeah, from my point of view and his point of view, we'll stay sort of focused on day to day, and, you know, if we if anything changes, and other than us rejecting bids that come in, then obviously you'll know about it.
It's great to see Dan get his first goal since coming back. And I thought TC, probably the goal came at a good time for him, because he was quite bright in the first half. The second half, he looked like he was losing a little bit of confidence and scored a good goal there.
Yeah, he got sort of manhandled off the ball a little bit in that second half. They got a bit more aggressive with him. And like you say, he looked bright in that first half. He caused them a few issues. And yeah, it's good for him to sort of get off the mark again. You know, it's been a while since, I think, was it the Reading goal that he scored, you know, a cracker a couple of months back now. But yeah, I think that'll do him the world of good going into, obviously, you know, some tough games coming up.
Yeah, Alfie was obviously 50-50 before today. What's the update? Is it still going to be 50-50 next week?
I think it is, but I think certainly the fact that we've got now a week, you know, between the games and not 5 days or whatever it was between that and Oxford, certainly gives him a better opportunity being ready for Peterborough. And, you know, I know he's desperate to play. He's frustrated at the minute. hopefully, you know, we'll have that type of firepower back next week.
Talking of Peterborough, they've got a decent striker as well, which you've had a bid accepted, we understand. What can you tell us at this point? How are the negotiations going with the player himself?
Not the minute, to be honest with you. I've just been literally focusing on this one. As you can imagine, we've came down last night, yesterday afternoon after training. So obviously I'll pick up that conversation with Andy and Jim and Simon over the next sort of 24 hours and hopefully have a bit more info for you.
I've got two in nice and early, which is obviously good to see. Tyreek and Lewis. What can you tell us about those two, first of all?
Well, Tyreek, from a physicality point of view, he's a man mountain in the middle of the park. He's 6'3", he can deal with the ball, he can play as a 4, he can play as an 8, and he's had a lot of success at this level, you know, only as recently as obviously last season with Plymouth, getting promoted. He's going to give us a great option there. I think from Lewis's point of view, he's definitely a little bit more attack-minded, scores a lot of goals from outside the box, you know, from 20 yards, 22 yards, he's deadly, takes things on the back foot, really positive. So worked with him a couple of times already, I know what I'm getting, I know what I can expect, and for this level, at this level, he's very, very good.
Obviously, they were signed too late to be involved today, but particularly with Lewis, because obviously we know he's coming off the back of some difficult injury problems. Is he ready to go? Does he need a bit of a mini pre-season or anything like that?
He doesn't need a mini pre-season because he's working. He's been training now for the last 5 weeks, but certainly from a playing point of view, we definitely going to have to stagger him. So I think I mentioned it last week or the week before. You know, we've been in a position last few games where, not necessarily today, but last few games where, when we've had to make changes, the sort of levels dropped a little bit, the standard, and we've not gone again. And I think what Lewis will do for a few games is, if he has to come off the bench and that's his way of doing it, then he'll certainly be able to sort of pick up the standard and sort of help kick us on a little bit.
This is very early days, so I've not even seen him play yet. But I mean, are these two players that you might cast your eye over thinking ahead to next season?
Potentially. I think, far and away, I'm sure Tyreek's out of contract, so that's something that we can be aware of. Lewis, I've got 2.5 years left on his deal at Man City, but obviously he's getting to an age now where clearly he needs to play football on a regular basis, and he needs to find a home. He's clearly not going to play for Man City, so you know that might be something that, you know, down the line, as long as he does well, stays fit and plays the games that we might look to do.
Just fine. I mean, I quite enjoyed seeing the away end were happy at full time, because they've seen an entertaining game and obviously no lack of effort or anything today. But obviously the frustration with the run of results is still there. Is it just a case of just getting through as many games like this and trying to pick up that win before
I think it is, Lou, because it's one of them where, you know, there's not a lack of effort in the team. I think everyone can see that. There's not a lack of spirit. It's obviously something lacking because we can't see a game out and we can't get that last little bit that we need. I do think that's down to a couple of things. One, when you're in the moment and it's happened to you a couple of times, the only way out of it is to, like I've said earlier, stay in that moment, keep getting into them positions. And then if we can add like a little bit of experience, a little bit of quality, maybe we get ourselves in a position where we're 2-3-0 and we don't have to worry about that. We've like, you know, 6 minutes on the clock goes up. So keep knocking on the door, keep being there, and if we do that on a regular basis, I think with what we've brought in so far and potentially what we can bring in going forward, I think we'll finish really strongly.
Thinking about a new kitchen or bathroom? Find professional, independent local installers with free home surveys, itemised quotes and protected payments, trading standards approved contracts and workmanship warranties. The British Institute of Kitchen, Bedroom, Bathroom Installations accredits installers to ensure they are police checked, fully insured and experienced. Take the risk out of home improvement. Visit bikbbi.org.uk.
Hello fellow addicts, I'm so excited to tell you all about our micropub, The River Ale House. The River Ale House is based in East Greenwich. It has 6 Pub of the Year awards, an ever-changing selection of amazing beer. It's owned by Charlton fans, walkable to the ground in just 20 minutes with buses that go direct to the Valley too. If your matchday routine includes a drink with your friends, you must join your fellow addicts in the river. See you soon.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Right, welcome back to Charlton Live on your Sunday morning. Just for the break there, we heard from the Addicts boss, Michael Appleton. Yeah, I mean, loads of the things we spoke about we've already discussed, but I guess we can go in on some of the signings. Luis Fiorini, if I've pronounced that correctly, has signed on loan from Manchester City. We've sent Slobodan Tedic back. It's a bit of a swap deal there. Tedic, obviously, with Haaland out injured now, we'll be trying to break into the Manchester City first team. We've also bought in Tyreek Backinson from Sheffield Wednesday on loan. He sounds like he's a bit of a unit in midfield there, according to Michael Appleton. He's not known for his goal scoring, apart from when he plays us, but that sort of accounts for a lot of teams, really, doesn't it? So he's played us twice and scored twice, and those are the last two league goals he's scored, and they were both for different clubs. So yeah, interesting to see what he's going to bring. I mean, the point that I did put to Michael there about the fitness, which I found interesting, obviously, particularly with Fiorini, is that he's not played a game this season. You know, he had bad injury problems last season. He's had a recovery point this season as well. I mean, guys saying genuinely, why are we bringing in players that aren't fit enough to start games? I mean, that is a concern. You know, we've had bad luck, if that's the right phrase, and it's absolutely not, actually. We've been silly to sign players who are injury prone previously, and it's cost us Nave. So let's just got to hope that they've done the background on this chap, and that he is fit enough to go and show us what he's about. Because on paper, Michael said he's a good player, but it is a risk when you sign players like that, and we're going to be trying to ease him in to the first team with sub appearances, by the sounds of it.
Yeah, it looks as though in the interim, in the short term, he's probably going to be doing those sort of sub appearances. But I think the difference between Fiorini and maybe someone else is that obviously Michael's worked with him. And he's at Blackpool and what was the other gaff? Lincoln. So, yeah, so he knows what he's about. And I think Fiorini knows exactly what Michael wants, how he wants to play. And then once he's back up to speed, it's how he then fits into a system if we do get Clark Harris and May. That's going to be an interesting one for me anyway, if we veer away from to a new formation or whatnot. But yeah, I can understand the concern in terms of him not being up to speed, but I think you're going to get an element of that in this window, unless you play, you know, you're playing sort of top dollar for people who are playing every week, because then you're trying to buy players that are probably other teams' best players. So, and loans, you're only going to get people to try and get minutes under their belt. So I can sort of get the frustration in it, but I can also see the same side that you've only got a limited pool of players that you're going to get in January, in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, Paul's saying with his recent injury history, I hope that Lewis is not going to be another Pan Kamara, who obviously, you know, we signed a player last at the start of this season who's had massive injury problems. And that is the risk that you take, and it is a risk that we take a lot, it seems, Tom, and it has cost us consistently. Backinson has played a bit recently, so he hasn't started a league game since, I think, October. When I looked this up yesterday, he has made 3 sub appearances, I think, in the last 3 games for Sheffield Wednesday, but certainly recently for Wendy's. So hopefully he'll be in a bit of better shape. But yeah, again, it'll be interesting to see if he is sort of in the shop window for us now, because his contract is up at the end of the season, so he's got to play for a deal. And you know, we've got to hope that he turns out to be good. What we've got to be realistic about is we've got to hope that our transfer business and our recruitment is better than it has been in the last 2 windows, and not my words, the words of Michael Appleton.
Yeah, and I think when we raised that point before, I said actually it's been 5 or 6 windows, but he was on loan at Ipswich, I think, maybe the year they went up, or maybe the year before, but the family were not impressed with him there. But I, you know, Ipswich were probably a much better side than we are, so maybe coming into this level, he'll actually look a little bit better than he did for them. So, yeah, it's an interesting one, isn't it? I know people are sort of clamouring for permanent signings, and you know, loans only fix a short-term sort of temporary stopgap. But as you say, these are players potentially, less so with Fiorini, but more so with Atkinson potentially, if, you know, if he does perform well, it could be somebody that we could bring in and keep hold of and, again, start to mould the team around a little bit more. There has to be some sort of consistent strategy. I don't know what it is, obviously, but that's what's important now, that everything we do in January and everything we do in the summer is consistent and all working towards next season. Because as I say, I just can't see anything happening this year now, sadly. So, yeah, if they're part of that, brilliant. That's kind of all we can hope for at this stage. I won't claim to know too much about either of the two players, but they've got to just come in. And as you say, if he's fighting for a contract and he does well, then maybe that's somebody that fits that spine I was talking about a little bit earlier.
Yeah, Jonathan says Backinson very comfortable on the ball, big and strong, should dominate the middle of the park, but doesn't. Always seems to be a yard off the pace. That's Wednesday's views. So it's very mixed on him. So yeah, he obviously is going to have to try and prove himself. James saying Appleton clearly having input into the transfers. It's like he's here for the duration. Ho hum. Yeah, I mean, I think that has been clear. As it might have been Tom that said it earlier. You know, I think it was Joe who called for his sacking on Thursday's pod. But it just doesn't feel like that's the case at the moment. After what Andy Scott said a couple of weeks ago, obviously Richard Corley put in his reports that he doesn't think that's the case recently. And Richard doesn't just make stuff up. Obviously, he speaks to relevant people. So yeah. Yeah, Matthew saying, I like the look of Atkinson. We're a real soft touch, so hopefully he can provide a bit of backbone in the middle, and that's what we'll learn about him. Obviously, we need to talk about Johnson, Clark, Harris. Bid accepted. Coming to negotiate terms now. There is still a decision for the player to make. I guess the way you get your top transfer targets is you make it that the player doesn't have a decision to make, and obviously that's how you got to find the balance in your budget. And sometimes you have to overstretch to get the sort of players that you think are going to get you out of League One whilst being sensible at the same time. But, you know, we have got to get out of League One at some point, Nath. Yeah, his other option is maybe if he waits until the end of the season, then he's a free agent. And then when you sign as a free agent, your signing on fee tends to be a lot higher because you don't have to pay a transfer fee for a club. So there is a decision for the player there to make. Our job is to make sure that there isn't one and that we make sure that we get him if we're serious about getting these big name players that we think can fire us to the next level, which is obviously higher than mid-table League One.
Yeah, I think the other thing that Johnson Clark Harris has got to look at is that I don't know if there's any other teams in for him or had a bid accepted, but if it's only Charlton at the table, as you say, if you're looking at going, well, will Johnson Clark Harris look at himself and go, I reckon I could probably get a championship gig, a lower-end championship gig, if I go on a free? If he thinks that can happen, then it'll be a bit crazy to join us in League One. I suppose it all depends on how he feels he's going to fit in to what division. I mean, obviously, I hope that he comes here because I think he's obviously proven at this level, and it's something him and May in the same side is going to be very, very lethal. But yeah, I mean, it's looking at the transfer so far, you know, I can't really grumble at him, really. I think we've all said, you know, we're going to be judging the new ownership. We're still only in situ a short time. I know they did have the summer, but I mean, so far, so good. So you can't really grumble if we're going after sort of a proven goal scorer at this level. So be interesting to see what Johnson Clark Harris does. I'm not going to get too excited until it happens because we know what can happen in football and know what can happen in transfers. So until it's on the official site, then I'll start worrying about it. But on the tail end of that, it'll be interesting how he fits in terms of getting May and him and Corey if he stays in the same side.
Yeah, it's interesting you say you can't grumble about the transfer business yet. I have a new policy, which I think I've had since after one of Sandgaard's early seasons, where I don't judge any player when they come in and I don't get excited about any player when they come in. You know, we put a lot of trust in, you know, obviously now Andy and his team previously, we put a little bit too much trust in Martin Sandgaard and the recruitment before that to go out and get players. Obviously, when we sign a player, the club are going to tell us they're good. That's what they're going to do. It'd be really weird if they didn't. We need to see what they're actually like in the Charlton shirt. There's lots of players at this club currently that we were buzzing for when we signed, and actually they haven't hit the level, and that's about the football management side of the club and making sure that we get players and get the best out of them. And yeah, so let's not be hasty about anyone. Let's not assume they're going to be great, certainly. Let's not assume they're going to be bad. Let's see how it works out, and then we can judge people based on the record, you know, 6 months down the line, as we did with the signings we got in the summer, which obviously didn't look great at the moment. John says that we have 10 senior players contracted for next season. We're going into another summer where we face the prospect of starting a season with youth players and playing catch-up again. Perms are needed. I mean, certainly the chat was we're going to be getting permanents in. So, yeah, I mean, I would like to see some stability in the side, you know. But I guess at the same time, it's a risk to say, let's say Tariq Backinson is hit and miss, like some Sheffield Wednesday fans say, and then but we sign him on a three-year deal because we have to get permanents in. And then we're stuck with him, like we were with someone like Charlie Kirk or some of the other players we have. You can sort of see both sides of that one. And we need to get these decisions right. Right, 15 minutes left. Let's bring in our guest fan, I think, for this week. Plenty to talk about with Chris Collingwood, assuming his microphone is still working. We've tested it and tested it, so let's hope for the best. Chris Collingwood joins us as this week's guest fan. How are you doing, Chris?
All right. I mean, this is, you know, like the Charlton upbeats, we like the Charlton downbeats at the minute. It's just
Definitely. Yeah, I mean, yesterday's game and just your general feeling about everything. Then, what did you make of yesterday? What does it tell us about perhaps what we already know about this side?
Well, on paper, it was the worst lineup of the season, I thought. Great to see Louis Watson, but then why is Dobbo and him not taking the corners and free kick? You know, alternating or whatever. And then you're just waiting for the equaliser, and it's become comedy almost, where you're just thinking, well, we're going to let one in, and you can almost see the players start to retreat and retreat, and their body language changes, and yeah, it's just a really miserable season. There's been no highs, you know, like the last few years we've had. I know Ipswich last year, I know it was only a draw, 6-0 Plymouth. Couple of seasons ago, away to Sunderland in Jacko's first game, you're kind of buzzing after those matches. I can't really remember any game this season where anyone's been really buzzing. And yesterday was another draw that felt like a defeat. There's been so many games that felt like defeats. Other than that.
Chris, hello, mate. In terms of the late goals, what do you think it's down to? Because I mean, this is the question that we seem to be saying every blooming week at the moment. What are you putting it down?
Leadership. If I'm honest, I love Dobbo and he leads by example, but we haven't got other people are always saying it, it's the Jason Pearce, and you mentioned it earlier, chucking yourself on the line, just going for it. You know, Ash is very quiet, great shot stopper, whatever. You know, my jury's out on him as well, but. There doesn't seem to be someone galvanising the team. And, you know, there's not that. And, we've all played to a lesser or better extent. And when you've got someone, come on, this, you know, really encouraging you, even, you know, the terrible level that I played, that kind of does do it for you. And someone saying, right, come back. There doesn't seem to be any organisation. And like I say, now that it's happening week after week, it just seems to be a self-fulfilling prophecy, really. So we desperately need a leader, I think.
My football experience definitely at the lesser rather than the greater level, Chris. But there was lots of talk yesterday following on from Nate's question, really, about game management. And I see half of Twitter kind of putting that on Appleton and half of that putting it on the players. How much more do you think he can be doing in terms of setting the team up for that last 10 minutes? And how much do you hold the responsibility at his door for us conceding these late goals?
Completely, really. I've never seen such a quiet manager. He didn't seem to, unless, you know, I'm not watching the whole game, but he just didn't seem to give much input. Didn't say, and his post-match interviews, I'm thinking, did you watch the same game? There's a few times, other players gave me everything. Like after Oxford, you're thinking, really? Is that everything? He keeps making substitutions that you think, what are you doing that for? You know, like, I mean, he picks the team. Like, Caroy Anderson, Caroy, brilliant at youth level. When I first started watching him at youth level, I thought, yeah, he's going to be a great player. But he's not ready yet. And yet he's playing 90 minutes every week. And, you know, until yesterday, playing 90 minutes over Louis Watson. He seems to, you know, classically bringing on players with 2 minutes left to try and shore up the defence, and then we let one in. I think his game management's really poor. I was more than underwhelmed with him, and I put on, I can be a bit vocal on Twitter. I put, if you get a league, middle of the table League One manager, that's where you're going to stay. And that's kind of where we are. I've got my happy waistcoat on now. I didn't tell you about that last time. It's such a depressing, and it's ruining weekends. After a Charlton game, this sounds a bit sad, first thing I do next morning, you wake up and you kind of think, oh, what's going on? Oh, Charlton yesterday. You know, it's just ruining weekends and, you know, Wednesday mornings. So,
Gavin Carter's in the comments so far today, one of the non-executive members at Charlton. He said that, you know, he doesn't think that the club is accepting sort of where we are currently. I mean, do you have confidence in this ownership group from what you've seen so far, what we know about them from previous clubs, and what they're saying they want to do, that they can be the ones to turn this malaise around?
Not really, but, you know, it's that thing of we've got no choice other than to give them a chance. My happy waistcoat is from the 98 playoff final, you know, the suits everyone got. I happened to work at Charlton for that year, and pretty much all the staff got given a suit, and so I thought I'd wear this for happier times. But previous to that, I worked at Sunderland, so I've got a lot of friends who support Sunderland, and were quite involved. And Charlie Methven, I don't know. I'm not 100% confident, but I'd love it to, the problem is we've got more owners than we've got staff contracted for next year. The players contracted for next year, it seems. So, you know, is it a consortium who lead? And the recruitment has been really poor, you know. So, call me back on a happy show at the end of January and go, yeah, that was great when we signed some players. But we just, each week, it's just getting worse and worse. And it is, I saw Paul Davenport put earlier about the, or was it All Hell Let Loose, about the chart. Your chart was like at the beginning of the season, like, oh, blimey. And now it's like, you haven't even got it any. I bet he's thrown it away. Just like, yeah.
Chris, just on the signings then, obviously I think we had a little bit of a soft middle, so I think we were too easy to play through. So obviously we bought Tyreek Backinson and obviously Lewis Farini and potentially Johnson Clark-Harris. So do those signings fill you with any confidence? I know you're probably going to want more like everyone will, but do those signings so far fill you with confidence? Are there any other positions that you really want to strengthen?
Well, at least we're making some. And it's only about the 7th of January, and we've already made two signings, and we're in negotiations with someone we've wanted to sign for 2 or 3 years. But again, you know, Fiorini injured for a long time back. I remember him playing against us for Sheffield Wednesday. Looked decent, but, you know, it's just that, yeah, the signings, like I say, I really think we need a leader. We've not really got any goalkeeping cover because of Isis' injury. I think Isis will probably be playing instead of Ash. Ash is a brilliant shot stopper. But, you know, again, when you watch football, you want a goalkeeper to command their area. And he started, like yesterday, 2 or 3 times, he's gone on a run, thinking, where's he going? Like going out for the ball, and was lucky in one bit where he chested it in the first half outside the area. It's like, so I think we need a lot of strengthening. But we really need to keep the players, like, you know, that, like Dobbo, he's kind of like our beating heart. I mean, it's a bit weak of a beating heart at the minute, but Dobbo's like, you know, a real hero for us. We haven't got many now. We had, a few years ago, we had teams of people that the fans loved. And I don't think there's many, if we got rid of everyone bar 3 or 4 players, but most fans would shrug their shoulders. And I can't ever remember a situation like that, even through the bad days of, when the Rat was in sole charge. I just think, yeah, anyway. I've not really contributed to the happy mood here, am I? Sorry.
Let's try and find some positives, Chris. Other than stealing the next opposition's best player every week, which we hopefully will do with Peterborough, what do you think realistically we can use the rest of the season for now, looking into to next year and trying to find some positives from this second half of the season?
Well, sadly, it's building, but like you know, the season's over and it's the beginning of January. That's such a depressing thought. So the only thing I think we can do is build. But then if we're building, that means we're building with this manager. And again, with 10 players under contract, and we might sign a couple more, whatever. But we build each year. You look at how many, very few clubs change players like we do every year. You know, we always have four or five loans in, and then they change. And the team that starts next year is, you know, 50% different from the team that finished the previous season. Well, this is April last, what was it? We lost like 14 players during the summer, whatever. So we can only build, but that means that we're building with Appleton. And, you know, is that, I know there's, yeah, I'm sure he's one of the, he's probably got a, it's like with players we signed, there's a good manager in there, but I really haven't seen it for us. I'd love to be proved wrong. I hate watching games like yesterday where there's not that passion. You know, you wake up on a match day and go, yeah. And when you wake up on a match day and go, oh. So, yeah. It's got to be building for next season because we've got no choice, really. You know.
On the train up yesterday to Port Vale, it didn't help that I was up early, but I felt so miserable going to that game. I just had nothing. That's why I think I was pleasantly surprised. It actually was quite a fun game, even if, like, I'll play the clip at the end of the show of my reaction to the goal because BBC London stiffed me by putting it on air when I thought I was off air. We need something to cling on to. You know, Gavin Carter's sort of been in the chat there trying to galvanise us, I guess, by saying that no one's accepting where we are. But obviously, results so far, I mean, as someone said in the chat a minute ago, I think it was Guy, said, yeah, it's a mid-table squad providing mid-table results. And that's where we have been for a while, and it's getting frustrating. Chris, thank you for wearing the jacket, at least to remind us of the better times. Hopefully, in the next few years, we'll all be getting good jackets to suggest that something good's happened at some point. But yeah, it's great to have you on. You know, very realistic about where we are. Good to speak to you, and cheers for being this week's guest fan.
You're more than welcome. Cheers, Louis. Thanks all.
There we go. That's Chris Collingwood, who's this week's guest fan. We've just got a couple of minutes left. Obviously, before the Peterborough game, we'll have a proper preview on Thursday. But we've got to remember, Nath, you know, 7 games without a win now. People are miserable for the right reasons. Jam tomorrow has been promised for a long time. We need a fairly big portion of that jam coming in this January transfer window just so we can... And I hate saying this at the same time every year, lay some groundwork for next season. It has to be better between now and then. You know, for Michael as well, he's got to be realistic about the fact that some of the results recently haven't been great, even if there are players missing. We need to be able to grind out wins. So we've got to see a lot of people proving us wrong or right in the second half of this campaign.
Yeah, we do. I mean, we've got obviously a big second half. I just want to see us play with a little bit less anxiety, you know. I mean, TC played well yesterday. I'll give him his due. He went through a rough patch the last few weeks, and I was delighted that he scored yesterday because there was a moment yesterday where the ball ran under his foot, and I thought, oh no, here he goes again. But I just want him to play with less pressure, and I know that's easy for me to say that, but I think that's the only way. Where if we put our foot on the gas and have a go, and be less anxious, I think all these games coming up, I think we'll probably get some results. And I know that might sound difficult to believe right now, considering the run we're going on, but we've got to at some point, because the alternative is that we're going to go further and further down that table. So, I'm just still going to try and remain positive with the games coming up. But you don't, like I said earlier, you don't know what team's going to turn up. We could turn up next week and turn Peterborough over, for all I know. But yeah, I just think we need to try and keep our heads a little bit.
Excellent. Well, let's see if we can. Right, we've run out of time on this week's show. Massive thank you to everyone who's joined us live in the chat. Massive thank you to Chris, who was our guest fan as well. Don't forget to subscribe to our podcast on YouTube and on your podcast apps as well. Big thanks, Nathan, Tom. Good to speak to you guys.
Cheers, lads.
Cheers, you beautiful men.
Yeah, good to see you. Right, so just to play us out then, I'm going to play you the clip from yesterday on Radio London just to sum up the frustration of supporting Charlton Athletic at this moment in time.
And what about in League One today? Oh, Oh dear, Charlton Athletic.
Chisels it, rolls it forward to the edge of the box. In comes a shot. Oh, it's crept in at the near post. And Port Vale have a leveller in the 92nd minute. Again, Charlton concede late.
Louis Mendes, let's get him some help as soon as you can. We'll speak to him in a moment or two. We'll reflect too on Millwall's defeat to Leicester.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.